Do you have any specific legislative priorities? Go down to Dover, anything? Some legislators are down there for years and years, and they're not really people that put in a lot of legislation. Others do. Sometimes it's just legislation provided to them by an administration or an agency. Is there something, any particular piece of legislation or legislative package that from day one you might be working on?
Certainly education. We've talked quite a bit about that the past few minutes, so I'll try to talk about some other items as well.
Okay.
I think small businesses are a key part of making sure that not only do we continue to recover from the current economic downturn, but that we're ready to kind of turn on a dime whenever we need to and to move in a new direction. There's a new industry, there are new ideas that can happen. And I know there's a good amount of funding, and the state does a good job in trying to provide opportunities for small businesses, but I know that it can often be confusing to small businesses to how to navigate that system. And I think that that making sure that there's legislation that sets up systems that themselves are dynamic, that themselves not only make it easy for small businesses to make use of the resources that are there, but also for systems that themselves can change as the times change,
right,
is definitely an important part. And we were at, I attended, again, as a candidate, we hadn't filed yet, but we attended the recent News Journal and PNC Jobs Forum held at the University of Delaware,
mm-hmm.
And heard from small business owners who, at the end during the question and answer session, they stood up and they described their situation. And it often, I mean, Governor Markell was there, he's on the panel, and he responded to them. And it turns out there often is a funding or a program already set up for someone in their situation, someone who has an idea like they have and wants to have it implemented, someone who's already an existing small business and wants to do something different. But it's really a matter of connecting them with the resource. So I think legislation that gets at that, but beyond that, constituent services is a big part. I think going back to an earlier question, I think serving the interests of the district and the residents is the key part of it. And again, that comes sometimes through innovative legislation, but often comes just through making sure that the resources that are there are connected with the residents of the district. So that'll certainly be, I mean, constituent services will certainly be something that we turn a lot of energy and attention to.
One of the reasons why some of our readers are also some Democrats in general, you're taking on longtime senatorial incumbent Tony DeLuca. We have very specific reasons why we would be supportive of your candidacy against him, reasons we would like to see him defeated, to be blunt. One of those reasons is the just completed redistricting process.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any ideas as to how to reform that so that in the future we're not punishing our own party members for perceived past transgressions, real or imagined?
Well, certainly moving forward, I think one way to avoid punishing our party members and giving a bad name to the Democratic Party is for Senator DeLuca to no longer be Senator DeLuca. But I think beyond that, it's also important, and we're looking at how other states handle this, but to have a nonpartisan commission that would really be in charge of this. I know that there was a round, I think it was after the 2000 election in Delaware, where redistricting benefited Republicans,
correct.
And then in 2010, it's benefiting Democrats, and I'm a Democrat. I'm a proud Democrat. I've been on the Newcastle County Executive Committee. I have been the attorney that was in charge of the ground operation for voter protection in the election of 2010 for the Democrats. I mean, I'm a very much committed Democrat, but I think that you hear from residents of the district, and at the end of the day, although this district is heavily Democrat, so most people are Democrat here, but at the end of the day, they just want things to be done fairly, openly, honestly. And having some sort of nonpartisan, probably even better than a bipartisan commission to have that process happen is something I would support. I think if you look at the map now and the shapes of the districts,
right.
It's...
Some defy explanation.
Some defy... I'm trying to think of... You couldn't ask a child with a crown to draw something like that. So I definitely think it's important to moving forward to look at how that can be not so much a vengeful process or something that's open to manipulation and abuse.
You just talked about a process that operates fairly, openly, free from abuse. What, if anything, would you support or glom onto to try to reform what is euphemistically referred to in this state as the Delaware way? Essentially that almost subterranean way that people use office, use connections to better themselves, but oftentimes at the expense of taxpayers, and oftentimes... arguably in violation their sworn oaths of office and the law as it exists.
So I'm coming to see that there are two Delaware ways, it seems to me. Again, I'm Delawarean, born and raised. I am from a state where it's not shocking to see an elected official dressed as something in a Halloween parade, Frankenstein, for example, where to you, government is not something that's big and menacing and impersonal and far, far away. But even if you're talking about state government down in Dover, from here, it's 45 minutes away, right. 40 minutes away. So I've grown up with this worldview where government really is local, even as a state government. I think it's one of the beautiful things about Delaware. I'm from Delaware, and so therefore when you meet someone else from Delaware, you say, where did you go to high school?
Yeah.
You know, I've got friends who just don't understand, from other states in the U.S., and they just don't understand why I ask that question. I mean, my fiancé is from San Jose, and I meet someone from San Jose, and I say, where did you go to high school? And they say, why would you even ask that question? Oh, I know someone from San Jose, too. Well, that doesn't matter. It's a huge city. Okay, well, I'm sorry. I'm from Delaware. And
more people in San Jose than Delaware.
There are more people. Yeah. But the Delaware way, I think, of being neighbors and being able to get people in a room and talk about issues and reach a compromise, I think that's something to be cherished. I think that Delaware can be a model for the country of what government can do when we do look out for each other. To me, that's the Delaware way. But I understand that's not the only Delaware way right now. And I hope even forward we can get it to be where the Delaware way I talked about is the Delaware way that really prevails. Right now, though, the Delaware way that you had mentioned seems to be, I scratch your back, you scratch my back. Everyone will turn the other way. I know right now we see things that happen in the Delaware Department of Transportation, especially in the past decade, but even earlier than that, where it blows the mind that this would happen. And in some ways, it was limited to a few individuals who made decisions that were very much an abuse of, if not of an abuse of their power, an abuse of the public trust. The public trust that government will do what's best for the people. Will not spend taxpayers' money in an irresponsible way. And but it's not only DelDOT, and we certainly see that, and this is one reason I'm running in the 11th Senate District. You see that with Senator DeLuca in his department, in his job at the Department of Labor. You see the way he abuses the process. You see the amount of money that is spent, taxpayer money that's spent on lawsuits, spent defending lawsuits, I should say, that companies... that individuals bring against the Department of Labor, saying, why are you making the decisions you're making? Why aren't you giving me explanations? It seems arbitrary. It seems capricious. It's a legal term. Please just explain. I mean, I shouldn't be treated this way. And so then the state has to expend lots of money, lots of taxpayer money, hard-earned taxpayer money, defending these lawsuits. And to the extent that people so far have just kind of gone along with it, that symbolizes, again, part of the traditional Delaware way that I think we need to have be part of the past and not part of our future if we're really going to meet the challenges that we face. I think Delaware is a state of neighbors. Being a neighbor means, yes, you should be there to support each other, but you shouldn't be afraid to say when one of your neighbors is doing something that they shouldn't be doing. And we're not talking about watering the grass during some sort of drought restrictions process. You know,
right.
We're talking about abusing taxpayers' money. We're talking about serving himself or herself before the community. And I don't think it's some sort of overly idealistic perspective to say that that's not the way the government should be run. And if anywhere, in a state of neighbors, we should be able to get it right. Not in a state as vast as California or Texas or Alaska, where it's really hard to keep an eye and make sure that things are going well.
One of the issues you just touched on there regarding Senator DeLuca and his work at the Department of Labor, and the issue that has arisen is the issue of double dipping and having legislatures working for other branches of the state government and the executive branch. There are bills that have been talked about in the General Assembly. Some have been introduced and some are still on the drawing board addressing that issue. How would you approach that issue if you were elected?
If you're a teacher, if you're a state employee, if you're a teacher, and you say, I want to improve my district, I'm going to run for office, and you walk around, you knock on doors, you talk to your neighbors, you listen to their concerns, and you earn their trust, and they decide to elect you, and then you are both a teacher and a state representative or a state senator, I don't have too much of an issue with that.
Right.
The double dipping that worries me most, and that I think we as a community need to put a stop to, is double dipping that involves being in office and then using your position in office to get a second state job, particularly one with a tremendous amount of authority, such as Senator DeLuca.
Right.
If you ever are a state legislator and you are casting a vote that raises your salary in a very targeted way, or you're in a part of an office that's quite small and you're helping to determine the budget for that office. And that's just such a breakdown, a meltdown of the separation of powers. It's unfathomable that it has. And I know people from New Jersey that say, how does that work in Delaware? How can that possibly be? You know, when someone from New Jersey is questioning how your state government is operating, that we
have a problem.
Yes. But for example, again, if you're a teacher, the idea of voting for education reform, and maybe teachers might have some sort of benefit for that, the idea that a great teacher would receive a high bonus. If you're a state representative and you're a teacher and you're voting for that, it's too attenuated. It's too distantly removed. You're not controlling your own fate on the other side of the government. So I'm not against the idea of people who are technically our state employees, who aren't not even technically, who clearly are state employees, like a teacher, being a member of the legislature. I think it really has to come down to what's your other job? What does it involve? What kind of authority does it involve? How directly of an impact do you have on controlling your second state salary? And beyond that, something that the News Journal and others in the community have been very concerned about is how much oversight should there be? I mean, Tony DeLuca and his records at the Department of Labor, his time records being made public, we don't have enough tape, I think, to kind of go into the whole story and what the issue is. But it boils down to the fact that you should not be using your power in government to serve yourself above the community. You simply should not. And if you're in the position where there's any legal question about it, then I think defer to openness. Don't cost the state all kinds of money and all kinds of time that taxpayers can never get back again. Looking into the issue, defending the issue, coming out to some kind of half-baked solution about it, putting all kinds of people in difficult political situations. Just say, I have the honor and privilege of serving my community, and I'm going to open the records up so people can see that I'm doing my job at the Department of Labor.
We've covered a lot of ground today. I'd like to close, at least for me, by asking you a question, because you've told us a lot about yourself, and a lot about what your priorities and perspectives are. Tell us something about yourself that you want your constituents to know that you haven't had a chance to mention yet.
I think one thing this campaign is going to involve is going to be, as far as I understand it, if Senator DeLuca runs, it's going to get ugly probably. And I've been involved in the community, and as we talked about Special Olympics, I volunteered at Little Sisters of the Poor every week for 5 years, playing weekly bingo. I've been very much involved in community service, and right now I just believe it's the appropriate time for me personally and for the community to have someone who represents them first and foremost, through legislation, through constituent services. I'm about to find out the hard way, I think, what politics can really be in terms of negative campaigning. I'm going to do my best to keep this campaign steered in a very positive direction. I'm going to do my best to make sure that the focus is on what matters to the voters, what legislation would they like to see, what kinds of constituent services would they like to see. Do they want a state senator who attends meetings every week in the district to understand what's going on? That's going to be the direction I try to keep this campaign going. And I want the voters to know that I'm going to do my best to do that. But that when it turns negative, as it probably will, things might be said. Things might be said like he had the opportunity, he worked hard. I'm sorry, this won't be said this way. It'll be he went to Yale Law School. He doesn't understand the district. He's an attorney in Wilmington. He doesn't understand the district. And nothing could be farther from the truth. Growing up, both sets of grandparents, blue-collar workers. My father, a police officer of 30 years in Newark Police Department. My mother, a high school teacher of 40 years in Delaware Public Schools, and it's still going strong. They worked really hard, and I was very fortunate. They taught me the value of hard work. I've tried to do that. I've tried to serve the community, and I was fortunate to attend the University of Delaware. I was fortunate to attend Cambridge and Yale Law School, and I want nothing more now to come back and, as I develop a legal career, also try to help the community that's been so good to me. A lot's going to be slung about all that, but when your father's a member of the FOP, your mother's a member of DSEA, your grandfather's a member of UAW, that's where I come from, and I'm not forgetting that. And I just think it's important that we have a state senator that holds those values up and makes sure that hardworking families have a hardworking state senator. So at the end of the day, and hopefully by the end of this campaign, everyone can remember that no matter what happens between now and then.
On behalf of Delaware Liberal, myself, Jason Melrath, Brian Townsend, thank you so much for participating in this interview this evening.
No, we hope to talk to you again as the campaign goes on.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.